ஓம ஜானஸ் நிலம் கசிய ஞானம் ஜன ஷலாக சக்ஷூரு நீலி தாம் ஏன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரு.
We'll be discussing Krishna consciousness at home in student life with questions which you can again write and send to me. And if you don't know English well enough, you can also give it to Mataji who will then translate the questions. Or otherwise you can just speak the questions if you feel more comfortable, whichever way. Oh, I thought you were going to do it consecutively.
No, that is not right.
Send it right now, it's a misunderstanding. Now, yesterday we were in the middle of a discussion, an important point, which I hadn't finished speaking about, so I'll continue on that. The problem, the eternal problem of the material world, which is more pronounced in the modern age, of agitation of the mind due to mixing of the senses. This was particularly asked about in relationship to student life. On the modern campuses, young men and women mix very freely, and inevitably the vata and fire effect is that when vata is put in the proximity of fire, naturally it melts. So in the same way, when there is pre-mixing of the sexes, then automatically there will be agitation of the mind, which is a great obstacle to advancing the Krishna consciousness. So what to do? Well, of course, as much as possible, we should protect ourselves. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is to elevate the consciousness to Krishna consciousness. We get a higher taste by chanting Hare Krishna. We get strength by associating with devotees. And our intelligence becomes fixed by studying Sri Prabhupada's book. Still, despite all these things, despite knowing that this is all nonsense, still our mind tends to become disturbed. Bhagavan Indriya Graho Vidvam Shamati Kashati. Bhagavatam describes that even a learned person, even a person who's very highly learned, his senses can be agitated. So, what to do? I can just cite a couple of examples of students I know in India and the approach that they took. One was a medical student, now he's qualified as a doctor. He's quite an exceptional devotee. Even when he was studying at medical college, he would every day come to Mangalarti. Medical college means a lot of study, you have to spend long hours studying. And he was quite upfront, and he was quite open about his being devotee of Krishna. And he didn't mind that he became somewhat socially ostracized, quite rigid in his Krishna consciousness. He didn't mind people calling him strange or anything like that. And he was prepared to preach strongly to anybody. He had a strong conviction in Krishna consciousness and a good grasp of the philosophy. So as far as dealing with materialistic people in general, he became a little ostracized, like that. He was considered rather unsociable on the campus. The same thing, he didn't hang around in the cafeteria talking nonsense. He didn't go to parties. And like the other young men, medical students, he didn't hang around talking to the young women, medical students. And if there was any need to talk with the young women students, he would just whatever had to be spoken, he would speak, and that with even with the young men medical students, he didn't waste his time on that. So that was his approach. It was a little curt. Curt means cut and dried, a little rigid. And he was also preaching, although I don't know about here, but at least in India, preaching among medical students is maybe the most difficult group of students to preach to. because they're very much convinced about science and they're taught that to any medical student. Because to get into medicine, you have to be pretty smart. So anyway, that was his approach. And he kept himself strong, which, when everything else is considered, is the most important point. It's nice to be sociable, it's nice to be friendly, but if you lose your Krishna consciousness, what's the value? Another devotee on campus, in a completely different part of India, taking up Krishna consciousness very seriously, but told me that he had a lot of problem with this problem, which is not surprising because that particular campus is pretty degraded. I invite you, so not by Western standards. So I discussed it with him at some length. And we came to, I advised him that, well, you should not think of being a brahmachari. When you finish your education, you should see to getting a job and being married. So he accepted that. And then automatically he became much more peaceful in his mind, because that was the direction he was going. So these are different ways of thinking. Actually, everyone has to make some decision with their life, which direction they're going in, what are they doing. At some point you have to do it. For men, by latest age 30, you should make a clear decision to marry or not to marry. And even earlier, because then if you're going to marry, you have to think about the job and career and all these things. Although actually Prabhupada recommended for grihasthas, well, different things he recommended, but for most grihasthas he recommended that they live on the land, which most of our devotees haven't done, because we're addicted to this city way of life. But for raising children, which is children are the center of family life, for raising children, the modern cities are not at all a good place. Terrible, horrible, degraded. So our own Krishna conscious communities, even though they may be austere or whatever, they're a better environment for bringing up children and for maintaining our own Krishna consciousness and family life. Modern society is extremely degraded and becoming more so. 20 years ago, we were shocked at the degradation in society, but it's a lot worse now, and it's getting worse all the time. All right, so I'll open up to questions.
Now, when we start to develop the congregation, we see that there are different levels in standards of devotees. So sometimes there are misunderstandings. Because some devotee, say, some devotee, try to follow some standards, some rules and regulations, which are not practical for someone with some condition
from
the beginning. Mm-hmm. And there are sometimes misunderstanding and can you a little bit explain how to understand this different levels of following rules and legends
Yeah. Are you talking about the congregational devotees misunderstanding what standard they should come to, or temple devotees unnecessarily harassing the congregational members? The devotees living in the temple, they should be a little understanding. Actually, traveling in India, I lived many times in homes with grihastha devotees. So I get to appreciate some of their problems, such as babies crying all night. It's difficult to keep a schedule, regulated schedule, rising early in the morning if you're up all night with the baby. The temple devotees may say, you don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and mobilize and full morning program. It's difficult when you've got to get the kids to school and the husband to school and the husband to work.
But maybe a teacher. The master has to go to work, and that is the difficulty of putting us. There are certain difficulties. And there are different social considerations. The mother-in-law comes, and she doesn't understand much about Krishna consciousness. And so you have to live with her, and still respect her as being mother-in-law. Like this, there's certain adjustments that we make when making us to devotees. The situation is not as conducive for making spiritual advancement as that of devotees living in the temple. That now congregational preaching is expanding. I recommend to, as much as possible, congregational devotees can come and live in the temple for some time. Not all devotees are going to live in the temple, but if young unmarried people are coming to our movement, they may not all decide to live in the temple, but it's good if they come and spend some time before they go on with their secular career, whatever it may be. Say 1 year or something, that training is invaluable. So it may be that, well, you can't develop your career is put back by 1 year or whatever. But our spiritual career is the most important thing. And if young people are coming to our movement, and I would say the first option is do live in the temple. That's better for spiritual advancement. There's one interesting conversation. One man in Melbourne in Australia was asking Prabhupada that, well, how can I make more advancement in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, come and live with us. Prabhupada said to Joseph, he said, then the man said, well, can't I follow the principles at home? Prabhupada said, you can, but it's easier if you come and live with us. Just like getting up early in the morning. If you live with us, we'll get you up in the morning. But at home, if it's dependent on you, then many times you may not. So at least for some time, if devotees come and spend some time in the temple, the training and the taste that you will get is invaluable. Now, as far as congregational devotees seeing the standards in the temple and not being able to come up to them, then we should explain to them. Actually, it requires mature devotees to preach to the congregational devotees. And it's best that congregational devotees, they come under the care of some guidance of a particular experienced devotee who's competent to guide them. Then such a devotee who's monitoring their advancement can see what is their position, their job, their family commitments, their level of advancement, and advise them to set up a program of sadhana accordingly. And devotees living in the temple, they should be instructed that it's not for you to blow away the congregational members. It's not your job. You know, it is your good fortune that you're living in the temple, and you're fortunate to be in this position. And you should follow very strictly, because you have that facility. There's no need to live in the temple unless you're prepared to rise early and follow all the principles. That is a life of full sacrifice. Devotees living in the temple, they shouldn't be having their own separate programs. They should just be prepared to do whatever they must to do in service to Krishna. But at the same time, there should be understanding of the devotees who are not, for one reason or another, are not able to live in the temple. It's observed that devotees living in the temple are condemning those not living in the temple for not coming up to the same standard. It's observed because our whole movement is meant for preaching. We have so many programs, book distribution, festival programs, Harinam Sankirtan, just to get people to come to Krishna consciousness. So when people take up Krishna consciousness and then we say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, we should be very happy that they're taking it to Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? Then all our preaching is to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And then when they start chanting Hare Krishna, we condemn them. It's madness. At the same time, we should educate the devotees who are living at home and make them aware of the standards and try to open them up.
The attitude of devotees living at home should be to respect those who are living in the temples for their sacrifice and dedication. And the attitude of the devotees living in temples should be very appreciative of congregational devotees. And they should, devotees living in the temple shouldn't think that, well, I'm better, I'm more advanced than devotees living outside. That is not a Vaishnava attitude. Another thing is that often it may be devotees who are living outside the temple, many times they're more steady and mature than devotees living inside the temple. And many of them do a lot of very good preaching and make devotees in this true course. They do so many things.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the devotees that live at home with their parents. The question is, should we make compromises like wearing a Vaishnava clothes and putting on tilak, and sometimes maybe eat food that is not offered to the Krishna body is qualified? So should we make those compromises?
It's not
Krishna body.
It's cooked by your mother.
Yeah.
If wearing Vaishnava clothes at home agitates your parents, it's maybe better not to. It's probably better to go step by step. They're already amazed that you're not drinking tea and coffee. As far as eating food cooked by your mother, it's a tough question. If you can get separate pots, if your mother can adjust to that much, if she adjusts to that much, it means she's got some respect for what you're doing. So that means you can gradually bring her in, and that means that you can gradually make her come more and more into Krishna consciousness. Actually, this is a new frontier for Krishna consciousness. In India, this kind of problem generally didn't come, because even non-devotees used to take Vishnu prasad. They understood that principle. So, and then by taking Vishnu prasad, they're already some. I mean, every time Prabhupada said anyone in India is Krishna conscious, to some extent. So it's bringing a new culture. And in these pioneering days, those who are the new devotees who are bringing Krishna consciousness into the Western world, they may have to go through so many difficulties. This morning we were discussing with the Surabhi Kunj staff some important questions about young, new devotees dealing with their parents. Now, young people, when they take up something new, they tend to do so with a lot of enthusiasm. And it's good to take up Krishna consciousness with enthusiasm. But this enthusiasm is often misunderstood by parents. And how to deal with parents is often misunderstood by your devotees. Now just consider, there is your mother. All her life she's looked after you. She loves you. That's Maya, anyway. She doesn't know anything beyond that. So all her life she's been caring for you and feeding you nice things to nourish you. She's always thinking how to cook nice food. And all her life she's cooked for you meat, fish and eggs and all these kind of things. Because she thinks these things are very good for you. And she's cooked them with care and affection for you. And you'll be eating them. And one day you come home, your mother says, I have a nice meat pie for you. And the child says, you demon. So we don't recommend that you call your parents demons. We don't recommend you call anyone demons. Of course, they may be demons. There are demons in this world, no doubt. Although Srila Prabhupada said that most people are just misled. The leaders of society are big demons, and other people just miss their demons by bad association, but they can be brought around also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant for killing the demoniac mentality. But generally, I don't know any instance of Prabhupada calling anyone, you are a demon. He may have said that He may have told someone, for instance, he may tell someone that this is a demoniac mentality, to not directly on the policeman. We should also consider, especially when we're dealing with our parents and this, we should consider that ourselves. It was only like 2 days ago that we ourselves were doing these things, maybe 2 days or 2 years. And we should also consider that even though it may be true, that it definitely is true that eating meat and all these things are sinful, but our ability to preach on that level, especially new devotees, is not very developed. So we should be very careful in our presentation of these things. It's nowadays it's not unusual to be a vegetarian, so there shouldn't be too much difficulty to explain that. And even many, not only young people, even older people have become vegetarians from a health point of view. And are many people giving up drinking tea? Not much, coffee. But you can also explain that. I mean, people nowadays are more health conscious than in the last, any time in history in the Western world. So instead of saying, well, you know, drinking tea is demoniac and drinking beer is demoniac, therefore, so you can explain from a secular point of view. And you can say that, you know, a lot of young people nowadays really want to live a very clean kind of life. And I know you think this is a little unusual, but after all, there are so many young people who are getting into drugs and so many bad things, so you can tell your parents, you can see, it's better I get into this than get into that. Another very important thing that is going on here is if older devotees of the same age as the parents visit the parents, and then the parents can see that my children are getting involved in something which people from the same kind of background as myself are also getting involved in. Actually, Mayapur Das was just telling me this afternoon that his parents were very concerned when he became a devotee. But then when his parents spoke about it to their friends, then their friends said that, oh, generally very intellectual people and cultured people join that movement, so it's a good thing. Prabhupada, he used to say that we should present Krishna consciousness as not as a religion, like people think, some kind of faith or fanaticism, but as a scientific and cultural movement for the re-spiritualization of the world. Questions?
Why did the preaching in Croatia 5 years ago consisted out of just leaving the family and joining the temple?
Why did it? That you'll have to ask the devotees who are doing the preaching. In the early days of this movement in America and Western Europe, that was generally the preaching. Because to get this movement started, Prabhupada needed some help. Some people are required to dedicate their lives for this preaching. Although there were some cases also of Prabhupada saying that, well, if you already studied 2 years in a 3-year course, you might as well finish your course and then join. At that time also, dropping out of college was a very common thing, not just to join the Hare Krishna movement. So presumably in Croatia 5 years ago, it was a similar thing. You didn't have to get started. Someone had to do it. Those who did that, they weren't the losers. They blessed by Krishna. The next question?
About Sanskrit, we talked yesterday. Usually the professors in universities request to express our opinion about the subject we learn. Why? What to say? Because those theories are often in opposite to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. For example, about Freud
and Darwin and this and that. Okay. Well, if they ask you to express an opinion and you express it in cogent terms, then there's no reason for them to reject your expressing your opinion, even if it goes against what they believe. That shows more intelligence. If they're asking you to express an opinion, and you express an opinion which goes against something taught in the past, that tells you a different, more developed intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Here it's presented cogently. The daughter of one of my disciples in England, she was doing a biology examination, biology course, and reading Life Comes from Life. So such a question came up in her final examination: give your opinion about Darwin's theory. Can it be supported? If so, how? And she gave a complete damnation of it based on Life Comes from Life. She doesn't know exactly how that question was marked, but she got the first grade in her examination. So it must have gone down okay. Because Freud, you can also present that. We have enough grounds to argue with anybody who's against Christian consciousness. You can say Freud recommended giving up social inhibitions, and that has been taken up in modern society. But what is the effect? Marriage as an institution is dying. And the result is that the children are brought up nowadays mostly without the care that they used to get in traditional society. You can trace, you can link the tremendous social problems of modern society with on one hand, the lack of care given to children, and on the other hand, the unbridled lust that is promoted in modern society. That's a very big subject, but the point is that we can preach.
There's one question. Sometimes when I have an exam on Monday. Sometimes when I have an exam on Monday, I usually don't pronounce anything. And when I get an A, you always tell me, well, you didn't have to get an A, you couldn't come to a program, you don't have enough faith in Krishna. So the question is, to what extent do we have to try to learn hard for our exams? And how much do we have to depend on Krishna's mercy? And is it okay for us, due to exams, to not to come to some festivals, such Sunday feast?
Yeah, this is the question: keeping a balance between secular activities and spiritual activities. Even in the secular activities we are performing, we should understand that the even though we're performing them, the ultimate goal is to become fully Krishna conscious. That without Krishna conscious, even if we become the prime minister or a big businessman or whatever, it's all useless. On the other hand, as long as we are living within this world, we have some obligations which we should also follow. So if you have some intense activities like studying for exams, it may be that you have to cut down on the spiritual activities, but at the same time you should realize that of ultimate importance is our spiritual activities. The ideal example for Grihastas is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was a responsible government officer, highly respected by the government of the time, British government. He was a responsible father. How many children did he have? 13 children? Many. He discharged all these responsibilities. At the same time, he did so much work in Krishna consciousness. He wrote so many books. He did so much preaching. And he trained one son to be a great acharya. He trained his children in Krishna consciousness. So that is our ideal. If we are serious, then everything will come nicely. If we perform our secular duties in the understanding that this life is offered to Krishna, so whatever I do, even if I have to get a job, within that activity, I will do everything dutifully, maintain my Krishna consciousness, and from within secular society, to the best of my capacity, preach Krishna consciousness. So much depends upon the attitude of the devotee himself. Although there are many cases also of devotees who have gone to the Sunday program right before the Monday exam and come through with first grade. Some students are told that after coming to Krishna consciousness, they find their ability to study enhanced, and that even without studying so much, they can grasp the topics more easily. Certainly the mind won't be filled with so much unnecessary garbage. But that may not be true for everybody. So again, it's an individual thing. You can't legislate in each case.
When during class, professor speaks something against Krishna consciousness, and everybody starts to laugh. Should we react, or is
he directly criticizing you?
Yes.
Do you have grounds to? I mean, if you did that in, for instance, if you did that in England or America, if the professor attacked your religion, you could sue him. Can you do that here?
Yeah. Maybe
not sue him, but you could make a protest to the headmaster. Yeah, so you should do it. You shouldn't have that only in half. Do you have a constitution in this country?
Yes.
So it's against the constitution, right? It's freedom of religion. You shouldn't tolerate that. Show them that we're not cowards. We're not going to unnecessarily agitate you, but you shouldn't unnecessarily agitate us either. What would happen if a professor made an insult against the Pope in this class? Can you imagine what would happen? In Bosnia, if he spoke something against Islam, what would happen? Shot, isn't it? Someone would probably shoot him. So, you know, these things are very deeply felt. We shouldn't tolerate this. And then someone asks us a question. First. Yeah?
The question is, how much memory are we supposed to put in study? She's studying medicine and she's asking, her ambitions are maybe to get a better way. And she's now interested to learn that we put the between where our own satisfaction is to get a higher grade, or where the sense to the feeling if we study more and then later on we can use this knowledge to serve the devotees better.
Yeah, the point is you're already deep into the course, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're already taking it up, so you might as well do it properly. Don't let it be said that by taking the Krishna consciousness then it makes you into a fool. At the same time, you have to be careful not to lose touch with Krishna consciousness. That devotee I was telling about was studying medicine and he was also, under a lot of pressure because he was rigid with his Krishna consciousness, but he studied also. He got good grades and he's a junior lecturer at a medical college. With that status, he's preaching among the doctors. What he told me is that among the doctors, they won't listen to anyone unless they're at least a doctor themselves. They consider non-doctors subhumans. Less intelligent. So he has a bit of a reputation now. Because these different people from around the world, it's a very prestigious college in India. And different people come from around the world and make different presentations. And he just challenges them. And then he said, when he first did that, he told me that when they were going out, they looked at his badge and they saw Dr. Venugopal, junior lecturer. So he has these credentials and people can't argue with him. So if we keep our vision clear, that our life is meant for service to Krishna, and go on with our studies and so on. Yeah. Other questions? Well, one thing I'd like to say, because I heard this twice when I was just down traveling in Croatia. This is a pretty bogus idea. His devotees are already living in the temple, should God get university degrees. If he already came to dedicate your life in the temple, then why are you going to go out and spend 3 years getting a degree? Already you came to dedicate your life, and now you're going to go out and learn something. Don't have any theory of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, I already gave a lecture on this, whole lecture is good. If anyone wants to know more about that,
I work and still with my parents. It is very easy to come under the influence of Maya, for instance. I don't change properly. I get up late, I watch TV, and I still
get up late and watch TV after that?
Watch TV.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Watching TV is very destructive of Krishna consciousness. Now there's a big hole in the middle there, you should come forward. Yeah. Well, if you watch TV, you're definitely going to get up late, because what happens, you sit in front of it, and you become hypnotized. So you sit until very late, watching all that nonsense, and simultaneously it takes away all your enthusiasm for spiritual life, so you don't want to get up early anyway. Traditionally, in Krishna consciousness, we have four related principles. No eating, no illicit sex, no liquor, no intoxication. We should add one more, no tea. It's very contaminated, very contaminated. Just the other day in Ljubljana, I turned on the TV because I wanted to watch this cassette of Prabhupada. At 10 o'clock in the morning, there's some American movie, some naked thing. TV and comic books and all these things, it's all just promoting. What they're promoting is all very contaminated. So you may think, well, I'll just watch the news. Maybe even that bit. You can just see the headlines. This happened, that happened. Most of the time it's not worth understanding it in detail. The whole thing. Some politicians said this, and some flood or some earthquake. Of course, if there's war going on in the next country, then you may want to follow the news just to know what's going on for safety's sake. When India was at war with Pakistan, probably used to see the newspaper. But generally, there's no need to get deeply into these things. You see whatever you have to see, and just leave it. Then you have to make your own decision. You may say, what should I do about this? You have to make your own decision to do what is required to be Krishna conscious. I'm not going to come live in your home and tell you, don't watch the TV. Now we all have the instructions of Guru and Krishna received in Parampara. If we take this seriously, we get free from the terrible cycle of birth and death and go to Krishna to be happy forever. And if we don't, we get whipped by Maya life after life. It's really up to every individual to take it seriously themselves. We have these festivals, we have Sunday programs, we have so many facilities just to give you enthusiasm and strength and direction. If you have time to watch TV, it means you have time to read Prabhupada's books. So you should make a program that you should make a schedule for yourself. That see how much time you have for reading every day. And then you set yourself a goal that I must complete reading Bhagavatam by such and such. You can do it kanto by kanto. Okay, let's start. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I have to finish this book in such and such a day. And make it more than you think you can do, rather than less. And then you go to the temple and make a vow to go in the temple that I'm going to do this. Unless I get typhoid or something. I'm going to finish reading this book by such and such a date. And if you do that, you won't have time to watch TV. And you won't have a taste for it either. If you have a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, then where's the taste for TV? Such a difference. This TV, it's just so nonsensical. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the source of love. The cure for TV is reaching on Bhagavatam. How absorbed in that. What was the first thing Shukadeva Goswami said to Preachit Maharaj? You want to study Bhagavatam, you know? Ariyame Shati Krishna. You're asking very nice questions. What are those questions? Can anyone say what the questions of Rishi Maharaj? What's the most important question he asked? Which forms the whole basis of Shukadev speaking to him?
What the person should do on the what a person should meditate on the time of death.
Yeah, what is the duty of a human being, especially of those who are about to die? So when I get absorbed in this, so much nectar. You read again and again and again. They come to tell you in the day, but if you don't eat, you feel hungry, right? So we should have we make a habit of reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So that if you don't read, you feel uneasy. You read Bhagavatam as you read. Your day is incomplete unless you read Sari Prabhupada's books.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Young devotees are often very enthusiastic. Is there a chance for them to become fanatic and how to avoid it?
I discussed that in his essay, in this book, My Memories of Prabhupada. In that essay called On Speaking Strongly in Prabhupada's Service. The essay called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. Because I got fed up of devotees telling me I shouldn't speak strongly. So I made an essay with 136 quotes from Prabhupada's books, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's writing, on how we must speak strongly. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll just become wishy-washy. Yeah, Krishna is all right, but if you don't want to, it's okay, it's all the same. No, it's not true. Actually, I remember in a lecture in Vrindavan, Vidyananda Maharaj was made a very strong statement. Vidyananda Maharaj. And then he, just after that, he said, we have to maintain a radical edge in Krishna consciousness. So, after the class, in the questions, I asked him to elaborate more on that point. So he explained the Latin root, he's a great linguist, the Latin root of this, radical. And that means to, it actually means to be connected with the substance of the truth. Now, fanaticism means if you, that is defined, I always said that fanaticism means a lack of knowledge. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism. Do you remember reading that? Or what is that? So if without knowledge you simply go around saying you're a demon and this kind of thing, then that is called fanaticism. But if someone who has gone deeply into this philosophy and dedicated their life to it, they should preach these things just to make the point clear that there is a difference between Krishna consciousness and not Krishna consciousness, not all the same. So if a young devotee doesn't know the philosophy is speaking very strongly about that, we should maybe caution him and first you study the philosophy very deeply. It's nice if you preach like that, but first you study the philosophy very deeply and practice it for some time. Let's see how you practice it for some time. Of course, many people are attracted to this movement because it is very strong. They want to get a clear cut direction. Because in the modern age, this idea of eclecticism is very prominent. Eclecticism means you take a little idea from here, and you take another idea from there, and you mix it up with this, and you make some kitchen idea. All ideas are all the same, and you take this one or that one. So many people are attracted because we give a clear direction that this is Krishna consciousness, this is the path to follow. We're not confused. I was just speaking in England with Amita Prabhu, who oversees the distribution of our books. Yeah. He's the DVL judge. DVL means modesty. So we were discussing this point about strong books. Just in the other, someone's asking about distributing light comes from light. somebody always says, this is too heavy. Prabhupada said to distribute that book, so how can you judge it's too heavy? Prabhupada said to distribute. Now, if you think that we shouldn't distribute heavy books, then you should edit Prabhupada's books. Take out all the sections where it was like rascal, nonsense, and fool of that. It's a very good idea. We could sell many sets of books because the set would become this thick. You cannot imagine the book. The fact is that Prabhupada has presented Krishna consciousness very strongly. Now, Rita told me about when this Laws of Nature book, that one devotee who was overseeing the congregational preaching in England very strongly objected to the distribution of this book because he thought we have to make a good impression, we don't want to upset people. And especially he was very concerned because there was a picture of the Yamadutas pulling the soul of the dying sinner under the book. And he thought this would make a very bad impression on the public. And Rita Prabhu told me that anyway, they distributed this book. And it just so happened that they got more letters of response from this book than any other book except Science of Self-Realization. None of these letters were unfavorable, although I would have said that even if they were unfavorable letters, we shouldn't bother about them anyway, but as it happened, none of them were unfavorable. People were very impressed and wanted to know more. And many, Amita said that many people wrote and said that this picture of the Yamadutas made me really think about what I'm doing with my life. Some people may not like it, but it's a fact that people who live sinful lives, they are visited by the Yamadutas. It's a very heavy thing. We should inform people of this. It's our duty as devotees. Of course, that in immature new devotees, that they try to present these things without proper knowledge, then it will appear to be fanaticism. But even then, if they take it to Krishna consciousness strongly, that's not a bad thing. If we train up from the beginning, you know, just smile at everybody and say, yes, you're eating meat, that's very nice, and you're drinking wine, that's very nice, and then if they start off like that, then now they are going to become strong on the basis of their principles. So the real thing is to educate the devotees and train them in the philosophy. I would personally prefer to see devotees, if there's any error, to be strong in their preaching and their principles rather than go the other way and just be all washed out and compromising. We have to be sensitive, but become compromised. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is discussed at great length in that passage. I'm personally concerned that within our movement there are certain strains of preaching which are somewhat compromising. Just like we have interfaith preaching, which is very nice, but if we see what was Prabhupada's standard approach when he met Christians, what was the approach which he always took? He would always say that if you love Jesus and learn to follow his instructions, are you not killing? Are you eating meat? And when Cardinal Danelio in France said to Prabhupada, well, let's go on to higher things, and Prabhupada said, there's no question going on to higher things unless you accept this point. There's no discussion of love of God if you don't follow his instructions. So, you should be very careful to stick with Prabhupada gave us.
Regarding this book, Life of the Life, you said it's Prabhupada, so I say that this is a good book.
Yeah. Not only that, you want to translate that question? Munishwara Prabhu is asking for confirmation that I said that Prabhupada said we should distribute these books. And the answer is, yes. Mm-hmm. And that section at the end, of Transaduta smashing Dr. Kabor, Prabhupada specifically said that should be put in the book.
What
means at the end of the book, there is an exchange of correspondence between Transaduta and Dr. Kabor in Sri Lanka, in which Transaduta absolutely smashes him. Prabhupada specifically said that that should be, the audience didn't ask Prabhupada, but Prabhupada himself said that this should be put in the book. This book, actually, before it came out in English, came out in German. leaven counts more leaven. And the book that you have now, Life Comes to Life, is actually edited. The original conversations were much more edited. The German edition was not edited in the same way. It's kept the original things of Prabhupada itself. Prabhupada wasn't afraid to preach strongly. He stressed book distribution.
Can you tell us something about the Sanarita? Is it that we want them good, or is it just that we try to adjust them to us?
Can you say that in Sanarita? To correct others is not necessarily anartha. If it's done in the proper spirit, it is a great quality to help others to become Krishna conscious. What is done so Sarkar? He sometimes said that my father trained me in proofreading. Proofreading, it means reading a manuscript and correcting it. You don't have a word for that yourself?
Yes,
it is. It's not really editing, it's part of editing. Proofreading means you see spelling mistakes, it's not editing. You find mistakes in the spelling and punctuation. So he said, but I don't only proofread books. He said, I proofread people. I proofread religions. I proofread the whole world. I find out a mistake and I correct it. And he said, I was born in the astrological sign of the crown. Astrological, lagna. Astrological sign?
Yeah.
Or the crown. Kalkata. So he said, just like that, if I find everything wrong, I pinch. But we also have to see what is our position to correct others. It's not the position of a junior to correct a senior. He measured also some things. Exactly the etiquette for this. I'm making a big book on Vaishnava etiquette. It will be like a big follower from Bollywood. There's so many different things. So hopefully next time when I come, when you ask this question, I'll just give this one book to you. Now another kind of thing is fault-finding mentality. That is a different attitude. That if you're just looking for faults just to bootstrap your own faults, that's something different. Even in correcting juniors, we have to see their capacity to accept correction. The new devotees coming into the temple, it can be quite bewildering because they do everything wrong. And they have to be told, you know, just that don't pick up charan with a bowl and drink all like that. Don't offer your obeisances with your feet towards the deities. There are so many important things that they have to learn. It's better that there's a bhakti leader who particularly looks after them. Otherwise it may be frustrating. Alright, so this conversation probably could go on all night. I am a great believer in Pandit Mangalati. Srila Prabhupada stressed it so much. So I read that in the Vaishnava etiquette book also. All these things. Especially those who are congregational members that come now. So this is the opportunity to come and open the bodies to Mangalati. But it does become difficult for Pandit Mangalati to chant your rounds clearly. They take place for a length. These are common sense principles. So that's all. Go and take rest. Get up, love me, for another blissful day of worship. I would also suggest to you the end of the discussion.